Hello and God bless you all. It is such a privilege to be with you and bring you the Word of God to the South Street Baptist Church in Greenwich, London. I want to thank Pastor Gideon and Irene Nash for the opportunity to bring you the Word of God. And today I want to speak to you about the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for every person that will be hearing this word. I pray, Father, that you open their ears, you open their hearts, Father, that they might receive this word. May the eyes of their understanding be open, Lord, so that they might receive, Lord, your word today. Father, we bless them and pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Again, it is so good to be with you today. And I want to speak about the Holy Spirit, the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the most important person on planet Earth today is the most ignored person? He's ignored by the secular world, by governments and politics, including world religions, and unfortunately, sometimes even by Christians themselves. This person is called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, who is he? Well, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. God is a triune being, unique, separate, distinct, different from every other creature that he has created. He is a being that is known as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a part of God, is God himself, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the continuation of the work of God on the earth this very day. And we see that in the Old Testament, we mostly hear about God, but the revelation that we see there is mostly about God the Father. Then we enter into the New Testament, and in the New Testament, we see that approximately for 33 or so years, and in fact, in particular, for 3.5 years, the ministry of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, is manifested on the earth. But after Jesus left, after he was done, what is the ministry that is operating here today? Well, that ministry is the ministry of the Spirit of God. For nearly 2,000 years, the Spirit of God has been operating in the church and leading people, touching people, and operating on this planet until his mission on this earth is accomplished. The Holy Spirit of God is a spirit, but also, one of its characteristics is that he is holy. There are many kinds of spirits that are around. There are demonic spirits. There are angelic spirits. But the Spirit of God is God himself. It's holy. It's separate. And the word holy means that it's cut and separated. It's different. It's set aside from all other things. Now, how did the Holy Spirit come here? We see in all four Gospels, it records something very special. It records how the Holy Spirit came for the first time to remain in a person. In the Old Testament, we actually see the Holy Spirit come, and he operated, but how did he operate? We see from Genesis chapter 1 that he came, he moved over the face of the waters. It's the power of God in creation. Then we see that the Holy Spirit came in the Old Testament, and he did certain things. He would come upon prophets. He would come upon sometimes kings, the moments they were anointed, but the Holy Spirit never remained on them. He would come, give them the word. So if you read Isaiah or any of the prophets, you see the Spirit of God came upon, or the word of the Lord revealed to so-and-so. The one that brought that word, that brought that revelation, was the Spirit of God. It is through the Holy Spirit that people would have revelation, prophetic words, and God's manifestations as we see in the Old Testament. But something happened when Jesus came. In fact, the Spirit of God was the revealer of the word. All scripture is God-inspired, God-breathed. It came from the Spirit of God inspiring men of God to write what they wrote. So we see that for a period of time, and in the Old Testament, between the Old and the New Testament, Testament, there was no work of God operating in the people of Israel until Jesus came and was manifested. So when Jesus came, we see that he came and he operated at first and did no miracles or anything while he was growing up until the moment that he went to begin his ministry. So we can read in all four Gospels, the moment that the Spirit of God came upon him, it was at the moment of his baptism. When he came to begin and initiate his ministry on earth, Jesus did not begin until the Spirit of God came upon them. There's no miracle recorded that Jesus ever did. No demon was cast out. No prophetic word that he gave until the Spirit of God came upon him. So we see at the moment of his baptism, it says that the heavens were open and the Spirit of God descended as a dove. And in the book of John, it says that it descended, but it did something that it had not done ever before in the history of humanity. It said that he remained. Now, the Spirit of God was able to remain on Jesus Christ because what keeps him away is the sinfulness of humanity. And we know in Genesis 1, it speaks about how human beings are fallen after their first they were created by God. And in Genesis 3, we see the fall of man, and there is a sinful nature to humanity, which we all exhibit and all carry to this very day, just as the Bible describes. And because of this, the Holy Spirit of God could never remain on anybody. That's why in the Old Testament, he would come upon a prophet, but then he would have to leave. He would never remain on anybody until Jesus Christ came to this earth. Jesus came and he was without sin. He perfectly obeyed the Father. So we see that for the first time, the Spirit of God found a place where he could come and rest. And after the Spirit of God came upon him, you see that Jesus began his ministry. And his ministry started with revelation. It had prophecy. It had the casting out of demons. It had healing. It had all kinds of supernatural activity that had not been seen before. So he understood the scriptures, he gave the word of God, and he healed the sick. And we see that after Jesus finishes his ministry, he says something very important. When he knows he's about to go, he tells his disciples who he had prepared. In John 16:7, he tells them something very important. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." So Jesus makes a promise. He says, "It is better for you if I leave." You see, when Jesus was operating here on this earth, the Spirit of God could only operate through Jesus. And then Jesus gave up his authority to his disciples so that they can also manifest the power of God and the kingdom of God. But now that Jesus was leaving, the Spirit of God needed to come upon them as well for them to continue the work that Jesus had given to them. So how was it that they could qualify? How is it that you could qualify? How could I qualify to have the Spirit of God dwelling in me? Well, the only way is for God to deal with our sin problem. And that sin problem is resolved because Jesus came to die for our sins. He had no sin. So he qualified to take our sins and die on the cross for us. Now, when he dies on the cross and you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe that you understand that you're a sinner, that you need forgiveness, and you're willing to repent, and you're willing to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is very important. You enter into a covenant with God, that you become a child of God, that now your sins are forgiven, and then you qualify now, and part of your down payment, as the word says, is that the Spirit of God comes upon you and rests upon you. So every Christian has the Holy Spirit come into them and can now remain because Jesus already paid for our sins. So if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, notice that I didn't speak about religion or religions. I didn't speak about character. I didn't speak about behavior. The moment that you give your life to Jesus, at that moment, and you receive Him as your Savior, at that moment, you qualify to have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. So when does this promise get fulfilled? It got fulfilled in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It says that on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, this says that there came a sound, a mighty sound of a rushing wind. And then it says that the Spirit of God came over the apostles and it came as a tongue of fire and something happened. They started to speak in other languages. And they said that the people that were there that spoke these other languages, because everybody from all the Jewish people from everywhere had gathered around Jerusalem. Why? Because this feast of Pentecost was one of three feasts where the people of Israel, all the Jewish men, were supposed to come to Jerusalem and celebrate this feast. The first one was Passover, and Passover was fulfilled with the death of Jesus Christ. The second one was Pentecost, which is the feast for first fruits. And that is when the church, the first fruits of the work of Jesus Christ, now appears. So the Spirit of God comes. Now, it's very interesting that after Jesus' death, he speaks to his disciples. And the disciples, just after he died, they were sad. They thought that it was all over. But then when Jesus comes back, they now say, okay, everything is good. In fact, they thought God would give the kingdom back to Israel. But Jesus said, this is not the time. But you are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses throughout the whole world. And that's what was fulfilled. Then in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, he fulfills this word and the Spirit of God comes, remains on the apostles, and you see now the birth of the church with miracles, signs, and wonders. So having seen the death of Jesus, the disciples were ready to speak about him, but Jesus says, he didn't say these words, but in essence, what he was saying is you're not qualified yet to speak about my kingdom. Well, why are they not qualified? They already saw all of his ministry from the moment of his baptism, through his death, through his resurrection. Why are they not qualified? The reason they were not qualified was because the supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit had not come upon them, which came in the day of Pentecost. So God fulfilled this promise. Jesus fulfilled the promise of sending the Holy Spirit to them. Now, it wasn't just for them, it's also for us, because he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So the Spirit of God is operating even in this day and even in this age. So how is it that he operates? What is the Holy Spirit? Well, he is a spirit of truth. We are living in a time that the truth is changed, that the truth is being hidden, that the truth is being replaced by lies. In fact, when you remove the truth of the Word of God, then the natural tendency is to fill that vacuum with a man-made concept or a man-made idea, which is not necessarily the truth. The truth today is under attack. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is rejected by the world, and many times even by the church. In John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. And when it says helper, another word is counselor, comforter, advocate, to be with you forever. So as long as we are here, as long as there is a church, the Holy Spirit is here with us. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells in you and he will be in you. So at that point, Jesus is speaking about the future. The Spirit of truth is going to dwell in you. But now that the Spirit of God has come, then he can come upon us. So this is the time. This is the dispensation. The moment that the Spirit of God is operating on this earth. And look at what John 16:13 says. When the Spirit Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. He is a helper. He is a comforter. He is an advocate. He is the one who is going to lead us to what is true, and he is going to glorify Jesus Christ. Jesus says he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. In fact, no one goes or nobody can come to Jesus if it's not for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is a giver of spiritual gifts. When you come to Christ, there are a set of spiritual gifts that have been given unto you. Maybe you don't know what they are. Maybe you don't know how to use them. That's something that you need to learn and activate it in, and I want to activate you on these. But I want you to know that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, to each, again, this is not to special few people, to each. So you see, you are one of these each. So to you has been given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The purpose of the manifestation of the Spirit is to build up the body of Christ, the church. So you see, this is why when there's an opportunity to come together, to be a church, to be a body, we need to come together so that our giftings can help one another. And verse 8, it says, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, and all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individual as he wills. So you see, the Spirit of God distributes as he wills different gifts. And these gifts are all supernatural gifts, whether it's miracles, whether it's diverse kinds of tongues, different languages, whether it's interpretation of tongues, whether it's prophecy, whether it's a word of knowledge, whether it's a word of wisdom, whatever these are, they are administered by the Spirit of God. And do you know that you have these gifts that can operate in your life? You may have some specific ones, or you're always a candidate, if you're a Christian, to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. So we see that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We see that he gives spiritual gifts, and he is the one who also anoints us. What is anointing? The easiest way to understand anointing is that it is a supernatural empowerment from God for us to fulfill our assignment on earth. That supernatural empowerment helps us to do what God called us to do. So you cannot do your purpose aside from the anointing of God. When you are anointed in an area, it means that that is an area where the grace of God works. It means that whatever you do, you're going to see that there's going to be blessing of God. You're going to see that it's going to produce. And you can be anointed for business, and your businesses will multiply, and it will be easy to you even while other people are having difficulties. You can be anointed for worship. And let me tell you, people can have talent to sing, but it's not the same to have talent to sing than to be anointed to worship. You can have someone who could speak with great rhetoric, and they can have a talent or knowledge on how to speak, but they could not have the anointing. And a person that is anointed will always have the supernatural backup of God. It's something completely different because it's not something natural. In fact, when Jesus came, he had to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be anointed to do his work. And we see this in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, where Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. So the Spirit of God comes upon you to anoint you to do something. He says to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty to those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Even to preach the gospel, you better be anointed. To do whatever God has asked you to do, what He has called you to do, you need to be anointed. The anointing is here for the earth. In heaven, you don't need to be anointed. But in the time that we are living in, you need the anointing of God. Whenever you operate under the anointing of God, you're going to see blessing. You're going to see people change. You're going to see God touch people, change and transform them. You're going to see God move supernaturally on your behalf. We need that anointing of the Holy Spirit. So what happens when the Holy Spirit is absent in society? Then there is darkness. In society, we see that there are lies instead of truth. In society, we see that there are replacements for things. When the Holy Spirit is the one that gives revelation of truth, or what it says in the Word of God. So people that are not open to the Spirit or do not have the Spirit, they won't understand. So 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they're foolishness to him. See, a person without the Spirit of God doesn't know where he came from, doesn't know where all things come from, because they reject the revelation of God. So as a result, they have to come up with some other idea, some other concept. If you reject what God has said, His perspective on things, there will be a man-made human reason substitute, which unfortunately is not just human reason, it's demonically empowered, because Satan is still operating on this earth as a ruler of darkness. So wherever the Holy Spirit is absent, darkness is in that place. What happens? Man puts substitutes to replace the Holy Spirit. Even in churches, many churches unfortunately have rejected the Holy Spirit. So thank God that you are in a church that is open to the Spirit, because the Spirit of God is what brings life. What is any work without the Spirit of God? Well, it's just like when God formed Adam. He made Adam. He was complete. He had every organ. Everything was functional in the sense that it could work. There was nothing broken, nothing damaged. Everything was there. But he was missing one thing. He was there, but he was as dead, until God blew the breath of life. Any church, any organization, any ministry, anything that does not have that breath of life is just a functioning structure that is not alive. In church, many times people replace the Spirit of God for other things. They replace worship for entertainment. So sometimes you might bring a concert just to bring someone that can sing, but that's not worship to God, because worship is done in spirit and in truth. There is no way a secular singer, no matter how talented, no matter how famous, can bring a true worship to God, because the worship to God has to be in the spirit. Just the same way, no one can give you a revelation from the spiritual dimension unless that person is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the revelation, if they're not filled with the Holy Spirit, what they're giving you from the spiritual realm is demonic. And that is something that God has forbidden. He's forbidden to access the spiritual realm through demonic entities. And of course, that will lead to all kinds of problems, to bondage, to death. It will lead to hell, to very hell. So that's why God says that he gave us something better. He gave us His Spirit. We see that when there is no revelation of the Holy Spirit, people replace, say, theology for revelation. So you might know something, but it's not a part of you. You don't understand it. You see, I intellectually understood that Jesus had died on a cross for our sins, but that didn't change me. That didn't touch me until it was revealed to me. At that point, my heart was open. I revealed, this became true. It became a reality. And from that day on, I became another person. person. Not that I was a drunkard, not that I was in drugs, not that I was in sin or anything like that. Even by the world standard, I might have been a very decent person. But by God's standard, I still needed to be forgiven. I still needed that blood of Jesus to cleanse me. So we see they've replaced the Holy Spirit by theology or by education. We think people that are educated have good character. No, character comes when the Spirit of God works in you and matures you. Sometimes we replace eloquence for a demonstration of power. We replace reasoning for what is faith, and religion and tradition for what is a relationship with God. So you see, the Holy Spirit brings the mind of God. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. He is not a force like in Star Wars. He is a person of God who speaks to us every day if you're open to Him. He is the one that can lead us. It says that the sons of God are those that are led by the Spirit, are the sons of God, mature sons of God. So why did the Holy Spirit come? He came to empower you to live the life of the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, without the Spirit of God, you cannot live the kingdom life. The kingdom life is a supernatural life. The kingdom life is one that's empowered by God, not one that is just by gritting your teeth and doing it in your own strength. Let me tell you, every purpose of God is greater than what you can accomplish. If you say, you know, God has put this in my heart, or I have this dream, but you can accomplish it on your own, then that's not necessarily God's dream, because God's dream is greater than you, because He wants to accomplish it through you, so that when you're done, all the glory goes to Him. So He wants to empower us to live that kingdom life. The Spirit of God is the one that brings conviction of sin. Without the Spirit, there is no conviction. So you see, only the Spirit of God can draw us to Him and to see our sinful condition. Only the Spirit of God can empower us supernaturally. He gives you gifts. He gives you revelation. He is our teacher. He will teach us all things. And He glorifies Jesus Christ and His work. So what does the Spirit of God do? We see it brings all of the supernatural to us. And it comes when we receive Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God comes in us, but then we receive what the apostles received in the book of Acts, called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in that baptism, the Spirit of God came upon them to empower them so that they could be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Now, there are two things that we must be very careful about with the Holy Spirit. One of them is in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20, says that we should not quench the Holy Spirit. Not quench it. What does it mean to quench? Well, it's like when you have a fire going and you pour water on it until you turn it off. When do we quench the Holy Spirit? The quenching of the Holy Spirit has to do when God starts to move and we stop it. So you see, for example, that there is a worship song or there's a prayer or something that is happening, and then all of a sudden it stopped. So let's say there's a beautiful worship song, the presence of God is in it, and maybe because of scheduling or for some reason or other, or many pastors, because they reject the move of the Spirit, people are being touched, there's something spontaneous happening, and they stop it. And they say, no, let's stop. That's it. Or if there's a praise and somebody or somebody's preaching and then some brother or sister raises their hand to say amen. You know, in many places, you say amen. They want to take you out. Why? Because they think it's a disorder. But no, they're actually quenching the Spirit. And the second thing that can happen is that the Spirit can be grieved. In Ephesians 4:30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When is it that you grieve the Holy Spirit? Whenever there is a character flaw, whenever there is sin, whenever you do something that God doesn't like, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit is within you. Jesus said He would be within you. So the Spirit within us can be grieved. But then again, if He can be grieved when we sin, when we disobey God, He can also rejoice when we obey God, when we seek to do the will of God. The Spirit of God will rejoice in us. And in fact, there is grieving of the spirit, which have to do with character, when you disobey, when you sin, and there is quenching, when you stop the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit is so special that God said that one of the only sins that is unforgivable is when we sin against the Holy Spirit. What happens when you quench Him? What happens when you grieve Him? His presence, you no longer feel it. In a church, His presence stops. He's not there. And once He's not there, everything that happens is a dead work. In your life, when you stop to feel Him, you see that that's God's disapproval of what you are doing. So we need the Holy Spirit. The world needs the Holy Spirit for conviction of sin. The world needs the Holy Spirit if there is to be any deliverance. Jesus said, if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out demons. So Jesus was saying that the Spirit of God is the one that casts out demons. We declare it, we command it, but it's the Spirit of God that goes ahead and does the work. Without the Spirit of God, there is no revelation. So there you can read the Word of God, but there will be no understanding. Without the Spirit of God, there is no supernatural healing. When you pray for someone to be healed, it's the Spirit that brings that healing. Without the Spirit of God, you cannot live a holy life. You cannot live a life set apart for God without becoming religious. Because religiosity is people doing things, external acts, to try to gain God's approval. But in the New Testament, the way that God operates is that He pours His Spirit in our heart, transforms our heart, and puts His laws in our heart. So we do things not as to obey an external rule, but because God in us is leading us to do what is right. So without the Holy Spirit, there's no ability to lead a holy life. There is no change. There is no transformation in your heart. You are the same person all the time. Without the Holy Spirit, you can have no supernatural manifestation that is from God. You can get demonic manifestation, but not from God. And then the church, you need to know, the church today, more than ever, needs the Holy Spirit, needs the leading of the Spirit, needs the power of the Spirit. You today need the Holy Spirit, need His direction, need His conviction, need His transformation. So this day, I want to pray for you. I want you to receive the Spirit of God and for your gifts to be activated in you. And first of all, I want to speak to people that maybe you are here and you're watching this and you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, the Bible says that again, that it is foolishness for the natural man, someone who has not received Jesus. These things seem crazy. They seem foolish because they're supernatural. But when you receive Jesus, you become a candidate to receive this. What will you have to do? You have to repent of your sins and you have to confess with your mouth. Would you believe that Jesus died on the cross and on the third day He was raised from the dead, where He had paid for your sins so that now you can become a child of God? And what do you have to do? Repeat this prayer and say, Heavenly Father, I recognize I am a sinner and I repent of all my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was raised on the third day. I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is my Lord and He is my Savior. Send now, Lord, your Holy Spirit to come upon me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. See, now if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a child of God and the Spirit of God is upon you. But what if you have already taken that step, but you have not received that empowerment from the Spirit of God? I want to pray for you that you might be filled with His Spirit, because this is the, it opens the door to having supernatural gifting, manifestation to everything supernatural. So I want you to raise your hand. If you have never spoken in other tongues by the Spirit of God, I'm going to pray that you would be filled with the Spirit. So the Bible says that if we that are evil, relatively speaking, know how to give good things to our children, how much will God not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask it? So you, if you have never felt this empowerment, you've never spoken in other tongues, you can't speak in other tongues, then receive it right now. I want you to say after me, say, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, because Jesus died for me. And this day, I want to receive that promise of the Father, even as the first apostles received it, the baptism of your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Baptize me with your Spirit now. I'm going to pray for you now. And what I want you to do is you start to praise God in English. And if your tongue gets tied, don't stop. Just don't think about it and keep flowing. The Spirit of God is going to fill you. Father, I pray for every person that is watching this video. Now, in the name of Jesus, I say to you, be filled with the Spirit of God. Be baptized in the Spirit of God now. Father, now touch every person. Spirit of God, fall upon every person. Fill everyone, fulfilling your prophecy that in the last days you will pour out your Spirit over all flesh, Father, and that the sons and daughters will prophesy. Father, I pray right now the empowerment of your Spirit. There it goes. There it goes. There it goes. Be filled now. Be filled now. Start to speak out. Start to speak out. Shekamare toro mare de manaya shoro. Rikamaya toro maya tere. Hakaramai. Be filled with the Spirit. Be baptized with the Spirit right now. Hakomare kere ma yeshoko toro maya tere. Shikamare. Don't stop. Keep flowing. Keep flowing. In your mind, it might say it doesn't make sense. Doesn't have to make sense because you're bypassing your mind. This is the Spirit of God praying through you. So go ahead and continue on. Continue praying. Continue praying. Continue praying. Be filled with the Spirit now and continue praying. I want to speak to another group of people while the others keep praying. Don't stop praying in tongues. If you've just received the baptism of the Spirit, keep flowing. Keep flowing because the Bible says that there is a river of living water within you. In fact, put your hand on your stomach and keep flowing. Keep flowing. That's the Spirit of God praying the perfect prayer through you. So while you keep praying, I'm going to speak to those who recognize, you know, maybe at some point I have quenched the Spirit. I have stopped the move of God. Or maybe at some point I have grieved the Spirit because of things that I have done by disobedience. I want you to repent today. And I want you to say, Heavenly Father, in this day, I recognize that I have grieved your Spirit. Or I have quenched your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you would forgive me. That the blood of Jesus cover me, Lord. I want to be filled with your Spirit, Lord. I want your presence to come upon me now. Cry out now for that presence. Doesn't matter if there's somebody around you. Right now, you have to focus on God. You have to focus on Him. Father, I pray, Lord, now for every person, Lord, that right now that is asking for repentance. I pray, Lord, bring the joy. Bring the joy of your salvation. Bring your presence. There it is. 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 I feel the presence of God upon me. Father, let this presence come upon them. Come upon them. Be revived. Be revived. Be revived. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Yes, there are many of you that your spiritual life has been stagnant and nothing has happened and you need a move of the Spirit. I want you to raise your hand and ask Him yourself. I don't want to have to say it for you. I want you to ask it. Tell Him, Lord, I've been dry. Lord, I need your Spirit to come upon me. Lord, I want more of you. Father, I pray you release encounters, encounters with your Spirit, Lord. Let Him come. Let Him come. Let Him come. Holy Spirit, come. Touch every person now. Touch every person that is crying out. Shema katamara katara. Rikamaye to komaye te kere. Hai karamaye kotoromaye ketere. For the Lord says, this is the day that I fill your mouth with praise. I fill your mouth with prayer. And I come and I bring water into the dry areas of your life. Hai kumaye takamaye kotoro. Hai yekomaye shoromaye tere. You have labored hard, but you have labored with your own strength. The Lord says, let me labor through you. Let me anoint you. Father, release anointing now. Anointing for purposes now. In the name of Jesus, let it come to the people. Let it come. 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 Let it come, Lord. Anoint your people, Lord. Father, and right now, let your spirit flow. Let it move upon the people. Let it change them. Let it transform them. Let him touch you. Don't stop him. Don't stop what he's doing. Don't stop what he's doing. If you feel like crying, cry. Don't quench the spirit. If you feel like crying out, cry out. If you feel like getting on your knees, get on your knees. Don't quench the spirit. Lord, move right now. Move, 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 move. Father, I pray that there would be a distinct mark from this day on forward. Lord, let there be transformation. Let there be encounter. Let there be an encounter with your spirit now. We need an encounter with your spirit. We need your transformation. Father, now, 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 touch your people, Father. Touch them. Touch them, touch them, touch them. Touch those that are weeping. Touch those that are crying out. Touch those that have been dry, Lord. Touch those, Father, that have forgotten because of service. They have been forgotten to come into your presence and be refreshed. Refresh them. Refresh them. Refresh them. And Father, I pray for new fillings. The apostles were filled time and time again as the Spirit came upon them. Father, a new filling now. A new infilling of your Spirit. Come over your church. Father, come over Southern Baptist. Father, let it come upon your people. Let it come. South Street Baptist, be filled with the Spirit of God. Be a new filling. A new filling for this day. Lord, touch them. Touch them. Touch them. Touch them. Touch them. Touch them, Father, and release it upon them now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, even as they are filled, Father, let prophetic words come out of them. Let prophecy come. Let prophecy come. Let dreams come. Let the dreams, Father, let the visions come right now. Let the gifts of your Spirit be activated. I activate you now in the gifts of the Spirit, that you might hear the Spirit of God, that you might speak words of knowledge, speak words of miracle, of wisdom. Miracles operate through your life. Faith be released through your life. New tongues, interpretation of tongues. Father, let the gifts be activated. I activate the gifts of the Spirit in your life now in the name of Jesus, that you might be a witness. Father, release boldness over your people. I empower them. Now, I activate them now into the supernatural by your Spirit. Mobilize them. I declare, Lord, that they go out and their prayers are at another level. I pray, Father, that what they declare, Lord, they see your hand manifested. I pray, Lord, that you use them for miracles, signs, and wonders. I pray, Lord, that you lead them into prayer. I pray, Lord, that you would bring transformation to their heart. I pray, Lord, that there would be anointing in whatever they do. Let the anointing of God come upon you. Let it come upon your house. Let it come upon your work. Let it come upon your life. In the name of Jesus, I release it now. I release it now. I release it now. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for touching every person. I thank you, Lord. We declare that we need your Spirit. We need your life. Let your life blow upon your people. Let it blow upon your people. Let it blow upon your people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that your presence would fall over your people, that they might feel your presence this moment. Father, every chain of darkness be broken. Let it be broken off of them. And I pray the Spirit of truth come upon your people. Thank you, Lord. And we give you the glory. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you very much. What a wonderful time in the presence of God. I pray you take this presence with you, because the Spirit of God is in you and He has activated something in your life. God bless you.